A year and a half after this pandemic began, domestic workers, like home health aides or nannies, still face staggering day-to-day risks and challenges. They are essential workers, and yet have little job security or protections to keep them safe on the job and safe from COVID. Let's bring in one of them now. Glenora Romans cleans homes and provides home care for children and the elderly in Houston. Glenora, welcome and thanks for joining us here at Here and Now.
Thank you very much.
This has not been an easy year for you. I understand you couldn't find work during much of the pandemic as many people locked down and they were nervous to have anyone in their homes. And was this all or most of your clients who said, I'm sorry, no?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. So when the times are really hard, were you able to connect any unemployment benefits to help you out?
Yes, I did apply for unemployment and I was fortunate to access some of it.
You were. Okay, so that is good to hear. Was it enough to be able to keep paying your bills, to be able to keep paying your rent?
No, it was not. And it pretty much came later on in the year. And as the pandemic was progressing, you know, I started having major challenges, like the place I was staying, you know, they asked me to pretty much get out. Yeah, that was very challenging for my kids and I.
And you have three children, yeah?
That's correct.
Wow. And so you had to, unfortunately, you had to find a new place to stay or find friends to stay with?
Well, some friends, you know, they said, yes, we can help just for temporary. And then others said, oh, we're so sorry, you know, if you were by yourself, it would be okay. But because I have the kids, you know, they saw that as an extra burden.
Yeah. And then, of course, all this time you were waiting, you're wanting to return to work. How soon were you able to return to work?
Didn't get a chance to go back until about February of this year.
Yeah. And right now, do you feel like you have enough work?
No. The hours are still limited and I have issues with transportation.
Do you have a car or how do you get around?
Yeah, I have a vehicle, but my transmission went out.
Oh,
and
boy.
So they told me, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to get it fixed. So I had to, like, depend on other people to assist me. And it's been pretty rough for me.
Oh, now, you have three children, as you mentioned. One, I understand, is in college. The other two are 8 and 10. So how are you able to work and take care of your children at the same time?
Some jobs, I take them with me, depending on what I'm doing. You know, sometimes I just have to decline the work, depending on what it is. In the mornings, I put them in vacation Bible school.
Okay.
And that was very helpful for me. So that would give me a little time to get some work done. And then I pick them up in the afternoon and then maybe take them to another work activity.
Yeah. I want to ask you about staying safe from COVID. Your job requires going into other people's homes. You face risk. You have children who are not old enough to get vaccinated. So are you, and we have this Delta variant right now, are you nervous about virus exposure?
Yes, definitely. There was a home that I went to recently, and when I got there, you know, the client asked someone that was there to spray me with some Lysol. And yeah, that wasn't very comfortable for me. But I understand, you know, everyone is trying to stay safe. Unfortunately, those clients do not provide the personal protective equipment, and it's very expensive for me to purchase. So, you know, but I have to have them when I go to work. I have to have the mask and my gloves and other, you know, like the hand sanitizers and things like that, other cleaners, trying to stay safe.
Yeah. Now, I understand, Glenora, you have a bachelor's degree in health information management, and you've been trying to find a job in medical billing in another field here. How is that job search going? How are the interviews going?
Well, I have attended a few interviews, and employers, they bring you in, and then, you know, they'll say, oh, I have about 3 or 4 more people that I'm going to interview. And then for some reason, I'm not selected. So that's why I am resorting to doing more home care work.
Finally, how are you holding up? If people come and say, you know, how are you doing now? What's your answer?
Well, it's still challenging. And I try to be supportive of other care workers. And so that's strengthening me, you know, because when I help other people, then I feel that sense of joy and purpose. So it keeps me going.
Well, Glenora Roman's an essential worker who cleans homes and does home care for children and the elderly in Houston, Texas. Glenora, thanks for your work and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Glenora Romans is advocating for broader policy changes and protections through a nonprofit called the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Ai-Jen Poo is the organization's executive director. And Ai-Jen, this group lost their jobs at the start of COVID in staggering numbers. Employment fell to near zero. Your group says a quarter of this workforce remains jobless. So as far as returning to work, are things improving?
Essentially, what we've seen is a slow and steady return to work, but we still have, as you mentioned, a quarter of the workforce unemployed. And part of the challenge here is that with the Delta variant and the uncertainties and young children still unvaccinated and a lack of childcare options and so many domestic workers who are mothers of young children, there are just so many barriers to the workforce getting back to work, on top of the fact that 81% of domestic workers came into the pandemic without a single paid sick day, and that has not changed. So that's partly why we're so urgently pushing for the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights to pass.
And tell me briefly about the main pieces of that legislation.
Well, the Bill of Rights is a national bill that would do a few things. It's a first ever historic legislation that provides a framework for workplace protections like paid overtime, paid sick days, health and safety protections, meal and rest breaks, freedom from sexual harassment. And it also creates some new protections to address the unique challenges facing domestic workers. When you're working in a private home setting, hidden behind closed doors, nobody really knows you're working there. And you really could go into any neighborhood and not know which homes are workplaces. There's no registry. So a lot of work has to be done to ensure that there are agreements and that there's fair scheduling and a process for establishing standards that offer some form of protection for this workforce that's working in pretty unique and isolated conditions.
Well, we have these economic risks. What about at this point in time, the COVID risk here? I mean, in general, do these workers have enough masks? What's their vaccination situation?
Domestic workers are actually vaccinated at really high rates. There isn't great data yet, but we estimate that at least 3/4 of domestic workers are fully vaccinated. And that's because they are working with some of the people who are most vulnerable to the virus itself, including unvaccinated children. And so they have to, as a matter of their professions, take every precaution. And what's really interesting is I think we've seen really clearly among domestic workers that it's often the people with the least amount of power and resources who are bearing the burden of safety for our entire society. So the average home care worker, for example, earns about $17,000 per year. And she is paying out of pocket for regular COVID testing, for PPE, for safer modes of transportation to minimize exposure to the Delta variant. All of these are expenses that the worker is expected to bear on a poverty wage.
And going forward, I mean, we have the Delta variant. We have the numbers doing what they're doing, particularly among children. What is most concerning to you about this group of domestic workers going forward as we head into the fall?
Well, I think what we have here is an opportunity where I think so many of us do recognize how essential this work is and how essential the safety, health, and well-being of our care workers like domestic workers really are. And that in order for the rest of us to get to work and for this economy to get back on track fully, that we have to invest in these jobs becoming good, sustainable, safe jobs. And right now in Congress, they're debating a reconciliation bill that will really invest in jobs and the economy, not just for the short term, but for the long term. And what better place to invest than in this workforce, in the care economy, which is not just so important for the women who do this work, but it is enabling of the rest of us who rely on this care to go to work.
Ai-Jin Poo, Executive Director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Ai-Jin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.